The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Rejoining us for our Hot Takes episode are Terry Cushman and Jeremy Schilling. Are you gents ready?
Ready.
Excellent. So we're going to start this off a little bit more positively. We're going to kind of go one at a time on some of these hot takes that we got regarding Tristan Casas. He seems to be a hot topic as of late. So Johnny Fontaine at Johnny Fontaine 1, Jeremy's number one fan. Rob Refsnyder has earned more playing time. At the very least, he should be platooning with Casas. Terry Cushman, why don't you go first?
I'm all for anything that gets Rob Refsnyder into the lineup. And I could live with if it's only versus lefties, but he spent the first 4 years of his career as a first baseman. And I know at that point he was just kind of a fringe major leaguer, but you look at this Guardian series, as I mentioned on the last show, both games that you won happened without Tristan Casas in that lineup.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And Refsnyder just gives you a much better at bat. Sometimes he crushes the ball. Other times he just puts it in play. He does what he has to do. Casas goes up there and tries to do it just one way every time. He tries to crush it when all you need is just a slap single to get the runners on second and third home. That's not what Casas does. And the dude is just a major net negative to this team. So I don't know what the percentages are. I mean, there's like a Casas mafia out there that will defend him no matter what, but it's getting smaller. They're losing steam, and they're starting to see how much better this team does when Casas is not in the lineup.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Yeah, so I was on the Refsnyder to get some time at first base last week on the recap show on Sunday night in Hot Takes. But shout out to Johnny Fontaine at Johnny, as you would expect it, Fontaine1. He is an entertaining follow. And if you want to be entertained with someone still on the Casas bandwagon, go check out his Twitter fight today that he had, or I should say Sunday, because this comes out later in the week. Very entertaining. Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't have to be Refsnyder. I know it's not happening, but I've outlined a number of different options. Right now, based on how the last series went, because last week I was saying, hey, just sit Casas, say you're not pinch hitting today. You're not playing, you're just not going to play, and then do it for 2 or 3 days and just let them have like a break. And that has now happened. We have Monday off. The Sox have Monday off, and then we face a right-handed pitcher on Tuesday. Let's put Casas in the lineup there and see what he does. Okay, because we are at our best if Casas is driving the ball. So here's the spot for it. Exactly. Cora obviously is listening. All right. He's now done it. Casas is out of the lineup, away from baseball for 3 days. Put him in the lineup on Tuesday, and let's see if he gets going a little bit. I'd have a short leash, guys. You know, we need to make some hay here while some other clubs are scuffling. And, you know, and I'll just say this. I say it all the time, but Refsnyder impacts the game more than just driving the baseball. Against lefties, that's a huge part of what he does, but he's a sound base runner. He can go first to third. I don't know what he can do defensively at first, although Terry has said a number of times he's played there in the bigs, but he can positively impact the game without getting on base. And that's before we even talk about the leadership stuff that we've highlighted as well. So Johnny, I'm all in on this idea. I assume you ripped it from me. Kidding. But I do think it's an option without having to move a bunch of pieces around.
Not too much to add to that one, and you kind of started foreshadowing the second tweet that we're going to be talking about. I'm excited to at least entertain the opportunity and idea of having Rob Ref Snyder in there more than every once in a while, because to your point, Terry, two wins, 2 for 2 when he was in the lineup, 0 for 1 when Casas was there. But Casas eventually does have to, quote, catch fire, which is going to lead us into our second tweet here from Latchkey80s Skidmark at Ahu's fan. Casas catching fire. How long is his leash? Yeah, 1 for 3 with a walk. I wouldn't say necessarily catching fire, but definitely better than before. His leash is going to be short, as evidenced by the fact that he's not playing every day. He's not even playing in majority of the games in the series. So his leash is very short, and he has to work up to getting back to where he expects himself to be. Guys, this is someone who we thought could potentially be a 4,100 guy. This is someone who probably thought he was going to get a $100 to $150 million extension. That's gone. That is so gone. Because he's just not there. And it's been several years of not being there, but nothing worse than this. This is the Bobby Dalbec trajectory. And that's not one you want to be associated to, where you're like, good, and we think you're going to do better, and maybe it happens a little bit, and then you have a really bad year, and then you have this. Like, to the point where I don't even know how he would do with the Chicago White Sox either, just like Bobby D. But yeah, to that point, for Ahu's fan, Casas catching fire, how long is his leash? Jeremy, how long do you think Tristan Casas' leash is?
So the way this hot take is phrased is important. How long do I think his leash is within the organization? I think it's pretty long. And I think they've stated that he's going to be our first baseman. How long should it be? If you phrased it that way, I'd say pretty short. I'd say you probably are already in a spot where he should be platooning. And as you see in the Cleveland series, he may be in that phase now. But the organization's committed to that. There's not really a long-term plan or solution within the organization. So I think he's going to at least continue to hit against right-handed pitching. And I think he's going to be here at least through the trade deadline, no matter what his production is.
Terry.
You know, I don't think Alex Cora likes him. I don't think the front office likes him. I don't know that he's not going to get optioned down to AAA here just out of necessity, just to give us a better chance to win. He's got no value whatsoever. Kind of a friend of the podcast. A lot of the listeners probably heard him over the winter when I was doing the Red Sox spaces. Jim Delfino was a regular on there. But Doug James was on there, and he had a tweet earlier last week where he said, remember when Casas said that he thought the big three, Campbell, Meyer, and Anthony, shouldn't be at the big leagues? And that Alex Bregman should be the second baseman. Could you imagine not having Christian Campbell up right now? Like, Casas can't, like, Campbell is crushing it. Casas is just sputtering epically. If anybody should be in the minors right now, it's Tristan Casas.
Can't disagree with that from my perspective, Terry.
Yeah, we talked about it last week about the first person to get DFA should be David Hamilton. And at this point, it doesn't matter. Like, Hamilton at least is an option off the bench to steal a base if you need him there. Tristan Casas is there, and he's just there. So, like, yeah, it's kind of hard. Like, Jeremy, I know you mentioned you don't want to, you know, kind of keep downing him and, you know, sinking a ship here, but he's making it really hard to not do that. You know, He's got to right the ship, and he's got to figure it out. Mike Zapala, Mike_Zapala74. If I'm pronouncing your name, I apologize if I'm not. I believe it's Zapala. The Sox should accept the first trade offer for Casas, no matter what it is. Terry, we'll have you go first on that one.
I don't think any team wants Tristan Casas right now. I don't think there is an offer. I mean, the Mariners were just up at Fenway, do you think they looked at Tristan Casas and thought, oh, we made a mistake there, we should have traded for him? I don't, nobody wants Tristan Casas. You've got the Tristan Casas Crusaders out there that want him, but that brouhaha that Johnny Fontaine was getting in, that Jeremy referenced, one of the guys going at Johnny, his name, he's got an Anon account, but he goes by Nyansor. You know, he says that this guy thinks that one bad month out of Tristan Casas means that the hitter is complete garbage. And, you know, I kind of backed up Johnny a little bit and I said, well, I quote tweeted Nyansor and I said, Tristan Casas has only had three good months his whole career, let alone one bad month. He's only had three good ones. And it was 2 years ago when that happened. So I just, the fact that we're too lefty heavy and we got more lefties coming, Meyer, Anthony, I don't know what's going to happen with Casas, but you can trade him like the hot taker said, but there's just no value. You're just, maybe you can get a reliever that's underperforming, you know, and perhaps there's some metrics that we like and we can turn things around. It's going to be almost a nothing package at this point.
Yeah, there are trades that happen in Major League Baseball where it's like, you take our trash, we'll take your trash, and we'll hope the new environment sparks them. That's kind of where we're at with Tristan Casas's value. The more prudent thing to do would be to send him to Worcester to get right. Once he starts hitting, bring him back, see if you can get a good month out of him. And if you want to still move on from him, at least do it when he has some value. You can't just take the first nonsensical trade out there. And I don't think you mean it literally like you tweeted here, but there's ways to get him rehabbed from a value perspective and get something for him, even if it is your trash for our trash, as far as, you know, former prospect that's just not doing it. So you can be strategic with it.
I don't think there's going to be a trade coming. I really don't.
I don't think so either.
There's no value there. I mean, players can increase their value and decrease their value. I mean, he's got all sorts of, you know, baggage. I don't even know how to quantify it. Teams don't have to trade for a guy that they can just get off the heap from their own minor league system or someone's a free agent with no drama, no BS. So I don't think there's going to be a trade offer. Casas's value is so low. I don't even know where it is. It's that bad. I mean, he has just completely fallen off the face of the planet as far as value is concerned. But we'll stop talking about Casas and we'll shift. This is going to be coming to us from Colleen at Quilted Baseball. This kind of reminds me of the person who crochets when Garrett Crochet is pitching. So I don't know if you guys know each other. Maybe you do. Cool. At Quilted Baseball, Colleen, I feel like today was the start of something big. It felt like they found out who they are as a team and what they can do. The bats are waking up and the speed is off the charts. Please let me be right, in parentheses. Now the bullpen needs to wake up. Some of them anyway, in parentheses. At Colleen at Quilted Baseball for Colleen. So Terry, why don't you go first? I'll have Jeremy go second, then I'll go third.
Well, I mentioned in the previous show, the Duran's stealing of home was hopefully a spark, and it was for the rest of the series, at least. We've got a series against Toronto, as I said in the preview episode. This should be a series you should win. There's nothing about the Blue Jays right now that is really impressive. They're not pitching overly well. They're not hitting overly well. I don't know what their record is, but it's worse than ours because we're in second place. Yankees are in first. And I look at the schedule coming up. You've got three against the Blue Jays. Then you got three against the Twins. You know, two series where you should win four out of six. And then starting on May 6th, the month of May gets pretty tough. You've got three against the Rangers, who took three out of four against us. You got three against the Royals, who have heated up as of late. They were like five games under 500. I think they've climbed back up to about 500. Then you go to Detroit, one of the better teams in the American League. Then you go to Atlanta, and Atlanta started off like 0-8. I think they're like three games under 500 right now. So that's impressive. That means they've gone on a hell of a run. Three against the Mets, four against the Orioles, which could be a, you know, a breather type series. Then you got three against the Brewers, and then you end the month against the Atlanta Braves. So this is a tough month. This is a month where you better have it together. And another hot taker besides Colleen, Randy Clemens, chirped in the same sentiments. He thinks this could be the start of something big. You know, Toronto shouldn't be too tough. You gotta find yourself here before things do get tough. If you're a good team, you got to start beating other good teams. And we're about to find out who the Boston Red Sox in 2025 really are.
Jeremy.
Yeah. So Colleen, one, I hope you're right. I echoed Terry's sentiments with regards to the triple followed by the immediate steal of home. Jaron Duran's breakout, we also highlighted that during the recap show. It wasn't just about the triple and the stolen. He was 7 for 15. He was 7 for 11 in the last two games of the series. And then you line it up with a day off and then Crochet. So assuming Crochet goes and shoves and does what he's supposed to do, you've won three in a row. You're set up to win that series. But for me, this team's going to go when it's ready to go. It's more about the Red Sox than it is than the opponent. Like the White Sox series is a perfect example. The White Sox didn't beat us. We beat ourselves. Not catching the ball, not turning double plays, not, you know, man on second, no outs, ground ball to the right side, move him over, sack fly. Like we just weren't doing those things. That's why we were losing those games. You could have put any opponent in front of the Boston Red Sox. They weren't going to find success. This team needs to find itself and play its brand of baseball, which is an athletic brand of baseball, pressure on the defense, stolen bases, first to third. You're going to catch your occasional multi-run home run like we did in this series. But for me, I'm not as focused on who's on the other side. It's how are we going to play? Are we going to play defense up the middle? You know, I think we should get Wong back in the next week or so, and that should solidify some things at catcher, especially offensively if he comes back and hits. And I hope you're right, Colleen. I hope you're right.
So a lot to break down in this specific tweet. So Colleen, I, like you, felt that today was the start of something big. I do not have a lot of confidence against the Guardians. I don't care what people think about how good their team is or how bad their team is. We were able to do something special today. You got off to a 6-0 lead in one game, and you're not even out of the third inning. You're up 9-0 in another game. You're in the fifth, sixth inning. You're able to generate runs quick. You're able to get a lot of work done, period. That's it. People that we've already kind of talked about earlier on this episode and a couple other episodes, with Casas not being someone that we're really sure what's happening with him, but we have a lot of people that can fill in for him and the team is going to be fine. There are certain things that also need to happen for certain starts. If Garrett Crochet is pitching, we have to win that game. If it's not Crochet, we have to try to figure out how to win two of those remaining four games. Jaron Duran has insane speed, and that was a clear case of just being completely in someone's cranium. Jaron Duran gets a triple. That opposing pitcher is not prepared, is not ready, and he's able to steal home. Yeah, it's going to happen from time to time where we're going to catch someone off on the wrong foot. Do I think that this is going to be something that we can anticipate on a regular basis? No. But if this team can score runs quickly and early, there's no reason why this team can't get back to the point of where some of us thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. I myself have the Red Sox winning that division being the AL's best team, and it didn't look that good less than 2 weeks ago. But the identity will find itself in some kind of like unconventional ways. You know, 1 year it's, you know, was it 2004? It was the Idiots, or was that 2008? I forget. One of
04.
Them. 04 was the Idiots. 08 was what, the Bullpen Pirates or something like that. Or 07 was the Pirates in the bullpen or something like that. It was just weird things. And it just takes one thing for the rest of the team to get on. And if the buy-in is there for the rest of the team, oh my God, this could be something really, really special. So I hope that it's the beginning of something to come, because if we can start to do this against the best teams in the American League, let's go. Because the best teams in the American League right now, I still want to believe that the Red Sox are one of those teams. You have to do that against the best teams in the American League. Because if you can't do that against the teams that are here, you're not going to be able to beat the teams in the National League. That's just a statement of fact. There are four or five teams that are better than the best American League team right now on paper. So a lot of people had the Rangers being one of the best teams in the American League, possibly being a World Series contender. The Texas Rangers just got walked off in the most embarrassing way ever today. And if you guys haven't seen that one yet, watch the replay. It's embarrassing. An infield single turned out to be a three-base error. And I think it's Heliot Ramos ended up scoring all the way from first on what should have been just an infield single. Just don't throw it because you don't have a good play. So I like you, Colleen. I really do hope that this team is trending in the right direction, given everything that we saw in this series. There's a lot to be positive about. You outscored your opponents by more than twice the runs. We just need to just build on what's gone in the right direction so far. Score runs, score early, do damage. Anything else that you guys want to add?
Yeah, just a question. Let's just say, and it's an extreme long shot, but let's just say this team wins the World Series. Which previous World Series Red Sox team would you compare it to the most, based on how it's constructed?
18?
It wouldn't be 04. It wouldn't be 07.
I would actually say 07. I would say 07.
Really?
Yeah, because really? You've got your young guy. I think Crochet could kind of be a Josh Beckett type guy. I think Buehler is kind of like your Schilling veteran rotation guy. And then you've got your cornerstone guys like Devers, Bregman, Duran. Then you've got your Pedroia and your Ellsbury type guy and Campbell and hopefully Anthony in the not too distant future. I don't know. I just think it's a perfect mix of veterans and kids. And I think that's what the 07 team was. 04 was extremely veteran laden. I would say 2013 as well, really. 2018, I guess I could kind of see it because, you know, Mookie, Bradley, Benny were all young. So I guess it wouldn't be too far off from that either. But for some reason, I'd think 07, just because there were rookies on that team and there are this year. Yeah.
Jeremy's giving the face of, I don't think
that's
so.
That's what they call a stretch.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know if I can say, I mean, it's a safe answer to say none of the above, because this, like, 04 is a statistical anomaly. It'll be the group that defied all odds. You're down three games to none of the New York Yankees in the championship series, and you go on to win eight in a row. The odds of that happening, insane, impossible, whatever the number is, close to impossible. That's what that number is. We're not 04. I hear what you're saying about 07. Jared, go.
Yes, we're a year away, okay? I know we just won a series, and the early week crew here is usually talking over losses, but we're a year away. All right, they need to solidify number two. Houck's not that. Bueller's on a 1 year prove it deal, so there has to be another move to be made there. this team is going to need the Roman Anthonys and, you know, up hitting. They got to figure out Casas. Like, they're a year away. This is a big step. It's a pivotal year. It's a foundational year. But this team is a year away from being seriously competitive for that sort of conversation. So while I can appreciate Terry's stretch, I would go more about what needs to change between this year and next year for us to be actual competitors. Because I just mentioned a couple things. I think you're going to need to. Our solution in the bullpen is short term right now. You know, you got to figure out Rafael. Is he your everyday center fielder? I mean, the 04 and 07 team were expected to be there because they had foundational pieces. They had track records. And yeah, you have your mix of youth, but like those teams went in as favorites. That's not what this team is. Let's not get crazy here. Terry's loading. He's the spinning circle of loading.
It's not a hill that I want to die on, but you know, it's got all the potential to be a really fun team with a lot of youth. Let's put it that way. And we'll see. I mean, the Tigers right now have the best rotation in the American League and perhaps baseball, like I said a couple shows ago. But I mean, there's no bona fide pennant winner here as a favorite. And why not the Boston Red Sox?
The Dodgers?
No, I'm saying the Rangers. AL pennant. I'm saying,
yeah. Well, I mean, I understand, yeah. But to win the World Series, I think it's relevant to mention there's like this just like T-Rex sized dinosaur on the other side. But I'd still go Rangers, Yankees.
The Yankees are gonna. They haven't hit the iceberg yet,
man.
Yeah, they haven't hit the iceberg yet.
Exactly. Exactly. They're one more injury away. I mean, dude, Stanton. I don't know if Stanton's coming back. I really don't think so. What I'm hearing about these elbow injuries, you shake your head all you want. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's done.
Oh, I'm not shaking my head about that, Charlie.
Oh, okay. All right. So my apologies. I'm missing something clearly. He's not coming back. What percentage of Cole being good is going to come back for the rest of his career? You know, like.
That's a question. I'm just,
you know,
about this
like
year,
this
though.
Is. Anything else that anybody else want to add?
He's yeah,
Cole, just frustrated Cole, Charlie significantly.
Cole could be a number two or three, but his Cy Young days are over.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, a lot of people thought Buehler was cooked, and I was kind of cautiously optimistic that it would work out very well, and so far it's worked out pretty well. But yeah, I mean, the Yankees are just. They're never going to win for as long as they have Cashman calling the shots. They're never going to have a farm, and you know, they'll be just good enough to be in the conversation for a playoff spot every year. But I think they're going to, I was wrong in the series preview. I thought that perhaps they swept the Blue Jays, but the Blue Jays did win the Carlos Carrasco start, not because Carrasco was bad, but I don't think they're going to get a ton out of him. Marcus Stroman just doesn't want to play baseball anymore. I mean, he's got his money. He's been terrible for the last year. I mean,
he's been bad his whole career. He's a trash baseball player. He's a career nobody.
He's a punk, and he's not going to hear this because he's blocked the Bastards account. But
yeah, he's irrelevant.
He's blocked everyone. We're like one of like a couple thousand accounts, but. But I just, if like Rodon goes down with an injury, that's it. You're done. They just have no pitching at that point. And they're saying, oh, wait for Luis Gil to come back. He kind of took a nosedive last year and he had problems with walks. I'm not sold. I mean, maybe he is a middle of the rotation type guy, but I don't know. I like the Red Sox chances. The Detroit Tigers kind of scare me because they've got a lot of trade capital. If they make an aggressive move or two at the deadline, that's really going to make it hard for us. And the crazy thing is you go back to 2013, we knew what the ALCS was going to be by July. We knew it was us and we knew it was going to be Detroit. And I thought Detroit was better, to be honest. I mean, they had Scherzer, Verlander, and then Anibal Sanchez, who was the ERA leader that year. We had Lester, Lackey, and Buchholz, which isn't bad, but it's not as good as the other two, you know, who are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. So I thought we were the underdog there, but it's kind of crazy that perhaps we're on the same collision course again, you know, 12 years later. The two teams totally constructed totally differently, but the same ball clubs, you know. So we'll see. The Tigers have like the second or third best farm, so they can go get what they want to get if they decide to.
Are you saying that the Tigers are, if you had to pit Tigers against the Sox in the ALCS, you think Tigers advance?
I think we're going to have the best offense and they're going to have the best pitching. So which aspect of which team more effectively imposes their will on the other?
It's a good answer.
All right. So if you were to take Tarik Skubal out of this one, right? They're out, right? If you were to take which Red Sox, would you take out Garrett Crochet as the equivalent? You remove Crochet and Tarik Skubal. Do you still think that that's the same kind of matchup?
It's hard to say because I don't know how good Reese Olson really is, and he's off to a good start and he showed flashes last year. So, I mean, he could be a very good pitcher. Casey Mize was a busted prospect who has kind of
started
to put it together.
There too, isn't he?
Flaherty, yeah. If he stays healthy, I mean, that's a pretty badass rotation. It might be the best in baseball, yeah. Honestly. And you look at the Dodgers, Snell just had a setback. The X-rays guy, the other one there, Glasnow left the game today with a shoulder problem. The Dodgers love breaking their pitchers. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. The Dodgers, since that 8-0 start, I think they're one game under 500 since then. So I'm not saying they won't turn it around, but I question the strength of their rotation for sure.
Still early. We're still in April, as we've said multiple times in the past. Still plenty of baseball left to go. Anything else that you gents wanted to add?
I'm good. Have a great week, fellas.
We'll end it on that note. Have a good one.